This is the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast from Taylist Media in association with KBB Birmingham 2020.
Hi everyone, welcome to a special side episode of the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast. I'm Rebecca Nottingham, the editor of KBB Review.
And I'm Andrew Davis, the managing editor of Taylist Media, the publisher of KBB Review.
I'll start by explaining the reason why this is actually a side episode. We're going to talk about the KBB Review Retail and Design Awards 2020, what it's all about, why you should enter. It's very timely because, as you all should know, the deadline for entries is the 14th of November. So what I wanted to do was chat to Andy. We'll also answer some of the most frequently asked questions about the awards too. Because it's probably fair to say, Andy, that you've done a fair few of these award ceremonies. So
that is true, yes. I think I did my first one in 2005 or 2006, I think it was. I was certainly involved in 2005, but I think the first time I actually had to get up on stage was 2006. That's how old I am.
Wow, so that's 13.
Yeah.
Also, it'd be 14, actually, sorry, 2020. It'd be your 14th.
Well, the 2020, I think, will be the 26th year of the event.
Amazing.
And I've been doing it since 2005-6, yeah. But you've been doing it a while too, though.
Yeah, my first experience of the awards was actually on stage, where I was actually handing out the awards. I was the special assistant handing out the awards.
That must have been at least 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think that was 2009.
So 10 years ago.
Yes, sorry, yes, 10 yes. years ago, yes,
that's
2009.
His,
so yes, 10 years ago.
That's 2019 minus 10, isn't it?
Yes, right.
Yeah, so this, I think we can safely say that we know quite a bit about, well, we've sat through an awful lot of judging sessions. We've seen thousands of entries, and so we kind of know what works and what doesn't, and we kind of know what wins and what doesn't, or at least what becomes finalists and what doesn't, in terms of how to put an entry together and things like that. So we can talk about, I'm guessing we're going to talk a little bit about that.
For those that don't know, I guess let's just rewind. Let's start with, what are the awards?
Right, okay. Well, the KBB Review Retail and Design Awards are, as the name would suggest, a awards event for the kitchen and bathroom industry, and we cover the two halves of that industry, which are retail and design. So it is the biggest awards in the industry. It's a big black tie affair, the actual event, and there's about 800, 900 people go to this thing. But actually the most important thing of it is getting those entries in and really rewarding and shining a spotlight on the very best retailers and showrooms and the very best design projects and designers. Yeah. And that's the bit I enjoy the most about it, if I'm honest with you. It's finding those people, those new projects that we haven't seen before. It's open to any retailers and designers of kitchens and bathrooms in the UK and Ireland. And we have sort of three sections to the categories. We have retail categories, we have design categories, and we have a couple of categories for manufacturers and suppliers. So I guess we're talking mainly about design categories here today. So we have six design categories in total, three for kitchens, three for bathrooms, and they are divided up into different project costs. So, for example, the kitchen categories are Kitchen Designer of the Year project cost over £50,000. Then there is £30,000 to £50,000, and then there is up to £30,000. And then there's similar ones in the bathroom categories as well. So they're divided up by project cost. That is quite a woolly term, but you know it is the only way to divide these things up, to cover the whole of the market. Now, you can enter each category once, but you can enter the other categories too. So you can, I guess, in theory, one designer could enter up to six categories.
So, you know, thanks for that. And I think I did touch on it, but just to emphasise, as it's nearing, what is the actual closing date for entries?
The closing date for entries is November the 14th.
You've explained all of the categories and why you should enter, but I suppose if you could summarise, is there any way you could sort of summarise why a retailer or a designer should be entering these awards?
There's lots of reasons for it, really. A big part of it's about pride. It's about your own personal achievement. You know, to have your peers judge your work and that work to come out ahead of lots of others is a really is a big part of feeling good about your work and what you do. You know, so that's a personal bit of it. But then there's a big part of it, for me, the most important part of it, is how it differentiates you and your work and your business from everybody else around you. If you can go out to your clients or your customers or potential clients or potential customers and say, look, I was a finalist in a national event here. I'm one of the best designers in this industry. You know, that just gets you that foot ahead of competitors every single time. And it's a big marketing thing as well. You can plaster it all over your ads, you'll plaster it all over your windows, plaster it all over your social media. And it's just a big thing that really boosts you, your own profile, your own standing, and your business too.
And you can even splash the win all over some billboards, as Soaks in Belfast did after their...
Yeah, Soaks Bathrooms in Belfast. I mean, that's on the retail side of the categories, but they're a fantastic example of someone who really took the principle of this and really ran with it. They won the Bathroom Retailer of the Year 2019, and they put some massive billboards up right in the middle of Belfast on some of the busiest roundabouts, on the busiest traffic, and they've seen their business shoot up as a result. I mean, it's not difficult, this stuff. You know, if marketing is about messaging, what better message is there than I have just been named the best at what I do? And it works, you know. Design is just a fascinating subject. People like talking about it, people like discussing it, people like evaluating and looking at what other people do. And that's all this is.
Actually, Andy doesn't know anything about this, but we're going to play a little game now, actually.
Okay.
I mentioned earlier that we're going to answer some frequently asked questions or facts, if you will.
Language.
So I've actually got a little envelope.
Okay, I was wondering what that was.
That's full of all of these different questions that we get asked all the time about the awards.
Yeah.
So...
does this mean no one will ever ask me them again?
I think that's probably unlikely.
Okay.
Considering the experiences of the awards that you've had.
15
years.
Once
somebody has an alcoholic beverage.
I once got cornered by a guy in the toilets after the awards had all been given out, and he berated me for 20 minutes because he hadn't won the year before.
Oh, blimey. Although that does kind of put a dampener on your actual night, I suppose what that does show is how important this
people do take it very seriously.
To everybody.
Yeah. Okay, go on then, hit me with the first one.
Should
I pull one out?
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you. Okay, so, first question.
Yeah.
What does it cost to enter?
Oh, okay, I know that one.
I know that
But I do get asked this a lot, because I think there's quite a few awards events, not just in kitchens and bathrooms, but in design, and lots of local events, where you do have to pay to enter. You do not have to pay a single penny to enter our awards. It is completely and totally free. And in fact, not only is it free to enter, if you are a finalist, you get to come to the event for free as well.
Oh, wow. So it's kind of, I'm going to say something now that you're going to hate this, but it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, you might as well do it again, mightn't you? It doesn't cost you anything. And if you get into the finalist list, you get to come to a big do for free.
Yeah. Okay. If you can help yourself to another question.
Yeah, okay, go on then.
Right, this one is, what do you mean by project cost?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yes, this one will get a lot. The categories are, like I've said, divided by project cost. So... kitchen designer of the year, £30,000 to £50,000. Or there could be bathroom designer of the year, over £25,000. So the question we get a lot is, what is project cost? We define it as the amount of money paid to you by the customer. Now, that may or may not include building work. It may or may not include installation. It may or may not include VAT. It may or may not include appliances. There's lots of things that fall in and out of that. So... it's very difficult to say that bathroom cost £12,000, but it didn't include installation, whereas another bathroom that's cost £12,000 and did include installation are completely different things. We have to divide it up somewhere. But when you apply, when you put the entry in, on that entry form, you declare what is or isn't included in that cost. And then it's up to the judges, who are experts and know what they're doing, to make delineations based on the information that's put in front of them. Because in that sense, it's a subjectivity. That's why you have judges, and that's why they're called. That's why they judge things.
Absolutely. I think actually that's quite an important point, actually, to clarify. Obviously, it's a frequently asked question. That's why we're clarifying it. But I think that should set a few minds at rest.
Yeah, the trick with it is you've got to declare what is or isn't included in that cost. But we can't estimate what somebody might have spent on installation if we don't know. So if the installation is included or isn't included, as long as it's declared, the project cost is what is paid to you by the client.
Okay, brilliant. On to the next one, if you can take another.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, I think this is one that if you had a pound for every time you'd been asked this, you'd probably be a millionaire.
I could afford a kitchen over £50,000.
Yeah, that's right. So this one is, do you have to be a big company to win?
No. Is that short enough?
Maybe elaborate. No,
the judges are specifically briefed to not judge people on how much money they've made, how big their premises are. The judges are briefed on what they've done with the resources available to them, not how big those resources are. So there's plenty of examples of people who've won awards, they've got tiny little showrooms, or, you know, we divide the design categories up by project cost. So bathrooms under £10,000 is not a big, you know, they're not big projects. But they are not about the massive showrooms, the massive great big Russian oligarch apartments in Mayfair, just because they've spent loads of money. Any designer knows you can make a total pig's ear of a massive budget, or you can be incredibly skillful and use an awful lot of design skill to come up with something fantastic for not a lot of money.
And I suppose it's also the point you're making as well is you might just be an independent kitchen or bathroom showroom with just one store. The point is, don't let that put you off. There's absolutely no...
No, the and there's plenty of examples where that isn't the case. But I guess people it's very easy to focus on the ones that are just big and spectacular. The truth is, a lot of the time, we see all the entries, so there's enormous great projects that look amazing on the surface, but never get anywhere in the competition sometimes, simply because on examination, it's not really that interesting, or perhaps they haven't done as much with that money as they could have done. And sometimes it's the stories, it's the stories that can be told where, for not a lot of money, you've achieved fantastic results. And that's what judges are looking for. It's the individual narrative about each project that really gets people up the rankings.
Absolutely. And I think actually when they come to the presentation, the finalists come down to the judging process and actually present their designs.
Yeah.
I think that's my favourite part, I think, is where, on the face of it, the judges have had a look and they know the project inside out because they've obviously made it a finalist. But then the opportunity for the designer is then to explain why they did things a certain way and why they gave
passion,
it that certain
passion
look.
Comes across sometimes, doesn't it? We should probably say in summary that the judging process for the designs is that you send in your entry, it gets shortlisted, and then the shortlisted designers come to London for the day and they have to present that project to the judges in person. And that's the bit that you're talking about, isn't it? They have to sort of stand there and tell the story of that design. And it isn't always, you know, and in fact, most of the time, it isn't big, spectacular things. It's really small things. The criteria we have for the design judging is aesthetics, meeting and exceeding the brief, problem solving, product and material choice, unique ideas and initiative, and value for money. Now, everyone, as I said, everyone knows value for money. You can absolutely waste an awful lot of money, and you can do fantastic things with not a lot, and that's a big part of it. Aesthetics is only one of those criteria. How it looks and how pretty it is only one of those criteria.
Absolutely. Right, I think it's time for another question.
Here we go.
Here's another one that if you had a pound for every time, okay. So is it all fixed?
Is it
Andy?
All fixed? No. I could think of a sarcastic answer to that, but no, it's not fixed. And I promise you, I get that all the time. Is it fixed? People just assume that there's lots of influences on who wins and who doesn't, and if they didn't win, then there must be a reason why they didn't. No, it's not all fixed. It would take much more effort to fix it than it does to not fix it, and it's hard enough work as it is. So no, it is not fixed.
Okay. Well, I think that's enough. I obviously know it isn't, so I don't need any more convincing. So,
and we're very transparent. I think we're very transparent about how it all works. You know, and I've written long, very boring explanations of how the judging works, and then even on the night, people still think it's all fixed. So you can't help it, can you?
Okay, number five. I think we're on to a fifth question now.
Okay, here we go.
Ah, this is interesting because this is about the changes to the awards categories this year.
Yep.
So the question is, why have you dropped the product categories?
Oh, okay. Yes, well, we up until last year, we did categories of product design, product innovation categories, we called it. But last year was our 25th year, so we kind of looked at, you know, 25 years of something kind of makes you sort of take a little assessment of where you're up to with it all. So we've introduced some new categories this year, and we dropped a couple, which were the product innovation categories. I just felt on retrospect that they didn't sit with what the rewards were all about as well as they could have done. So these are awards for retailers and designers, and then we had a product award, and I wanted to link everything to those retailers. So we do have a couple of categories that suppliers can enter, but they are for retailer sales reps. So there's sales rep of the year, effectively.
Okay.
Because they are the link with the retailer and the Absolutely. Designer. They're the ones who really are the face-to-face link between the suppliers of the products and the designers and the retailers. And so it plays into the story of what these awards are all about much more than whether who's got the best tap or whatever. And there's lots of product awards out there, and we didn't want to just be yet another product award. So we wanted to kind of make this really all about retailers.
Another question.
Yeah, okay. How many are there of these things?
There's 8 in total. Oh, we're okay. On number 6, so... okay, so question number 6 is, can you extend the closing date?
I tell you what, these are all questions that if I had a pound for, you know, I would be...
You'd be a very wealthy man
I'd be a very wealthy man. No, we're not Brexit.
What is the issue? Why is there no chance of extending
because
the deadline?
Because we have a schedule of how the judging works. Because we have quite a complicated judging process that involves... shortlisted finalists coming to a judging day. In the retail categories, judges go out and see the showrooms of the retailers themselves. And so this
is another unique aspect. So
it all takes quite a while. So we have a sort of schedule of how this all has to work. Obviously, there's Christmas in between then and there as well. Plus, you know, I could be very cynical and say sometimes competitions that extend the judging or extend the closing date might be because they haven't got all the entries they would like. So we have plenty of entries, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. So we have to cut it off somewhere, and we've told everyone what the date is, so that's that.
Okay, so
14th... That sounds very harsh, doesn't it?
It does sound very harsh, but 14th of November, guys.
The 14th of November.
Okay, take another.
It's two left.
Two left.
Yeah, okay, go on.
Ah, who's the host? Not even I know this.
You know what? This is probably the most frequently of the frequently asked questions. People just want to know who the host is. And I always say the same thing, which is, I'm not telling you.
He doesn't even tell... anyone in the office, do you? Will you
not
try and
to,
hide
not
it from us?
We know. There's lots of reasons why. One, we just like it being a bit of a surprise. The other bits is sometimes when you get hosts and you announce who it is and then they pull out. So, hey, listen, you get a sniff of QI.
They're going to drop. Are you telling me that QI pays better than the KBB review?
No, but we're not on the telly. It certainly doesn't pay. Well, QI doesn't pay as well as we do, believe me. But we're not on the telly. So.
Ah, okay, fair enough.
So we've got an idea of who the host is going to be for 2020, but we're not obviously going to tell anybody.
Will you tell me when we turn off the podcast recording?
No.
Okay, you'll be pleased to know this is the last question in the envelope.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay. Ooh, okay, this is a good one. What are your top tips for doing a winning entry?
Oh, okay. Well, yes, as we've seen a lot of entries, haven't we? And we've sat through a lot of presentations. What makes a winning entry? Well, as I said earlier on, I think have a story to tell and tell the story. So don't just think about what it looks like. What is the story of that design? So it could be the brief is really interesting, one that you haven't looked at before. It could be that the materials you've never used before and there's a reason why you chose them. It could be because there's a particularly interesting problem that had to be solved in that design, whether it's a big pillar down the middle of the room or whether it's... We had one once, if you remember, where I think the husband was 6'8" and the wife was 5'2" or something. And so it's all these little interesting nuances that make these interesting projects. And when the judges look at them, they want to see the little quirks and the interesting bits. Sometimes good-looking kitchens fall down because you could open a brochure and they could just like come out of a brochure.
Yeah.
So what is the story behind the design? That's my biggest tip, I think.
That's a very good point, Andy, because Hayley Robson, the winner of 2 design awards at this year's awards, actually one of her entries and subsequent winning designs actually really stands out. And in fact, she talks about it on a recent podcast of ours.
Yeah.
The clients had a very strong brief. They wanted these Brazilian tiles included. It was a really interesting talking point for the judges, actually, during her presentation. And the way that she was able to then present really explained why she'd sourced those products.
Well, like I said, meeting and exceeding the brief is a big part of the criteria. These are the things that tell the story. So a lot of the times entries have things like, this is a husband and a wife and they have two kids and like entertaining. And that's that pretty much sums up virtually every kitchen. But what are the interesting bits that, why of all the kitchens and bathrooms that you've done in the last 12 months, why have you chosen this one? And have a look at those criteria and see where you think it ranks against each one of them. Not just how pretty it is, not just how nice the photographs are, but how does it rack up against how you've met that brief? What problems have you solved? What really unique things have you done with that that makes it the best thing that you've done all year? And that's being able to, having that own passion about it, having that enthusiasm for your own work comes through when you put an entry together every single time.
Okay, well, that's all the questions, Andy, you'd be pleased to know. So just for our listeners, you can find out everything you need to know about entering at kbbreview.com/awards. And don't forget, the closing date for entries is 14th of November. And as Andy said, there will be no extensions. So get your entries in.